In the beginning, Uguesua, or man-like beings, lived in the regions above. They knew not what it was to weep or cry. Sorrow and death were thus unknown to them. The lodges of the man-beings were long, each one belonging to a large family of one clan. In these lodges, there was a woman who had been born with strong powers. People such as this were called down-fended, because they slept on beds of soft down. These people were always kept separate from the others in the lodge, and were cared for in their childhood by an older aunt or uncle. One day, when the people were away from the lodge, a young man entered and went up to the down-fended woman. She reached out and touched the man, and he died. The woman later became pregnant and gave birth to a daughter called Yagodzidzande, meaning fertile earth. Yagodzidzande was a beautiful girl who grew up in the lodge of her mother and became a healthy young woman. One day, however, she became ill, and since sickness was not known to the man-beings, they didn't know what to do. Yagodzidzande went out one night to seek the spirit of her father, who told her the following: "You must travel, my daughter, to the village of Tarunhyawago, or he who holds up the sky. In his village that is lit by the tree of the standing light, you must become his bride. On your way to the village, you must be careful not to touch any man or animal that comes along. When you reach the stream between our village and that of Tarunhyawago, you will find a maple log. Cross the stream on this log and accept help from no one." Yagodzidzande left the village of her people and traveled to the east. When she arrived at the stream, she found the log, but before she could push the log out into the water, Gahasarine appeared. Gahasarine is the white dragon of the fire body, who sometimes appears in the sky as a falling star or meteor. Gahasarine asked her if she needed help. Yagodzidzande became frightened and quickly ran back to her village. However, just as she left the stream, Gahasarine reached out and barely touched her on the shoulder. When Yagodzidzande arrived back in her village, she once again sought the spirit of her father, who asked if Gahasarine had touched her. She replied no. He then advised his daughter to return to the stream and make her way to the village of the Tree of the Standing Light. Yagodzidzande arrived at the stream shoreline, again finding the maple log where she had left it, and crossed over to the other side. When Yagodzidzande arrived at the village of the Tree of the Standing Light, she sought out Tarunhyawago, the chief of the upper world, and said, "I have come to be your bride." His response was, "Good, make me some supper." When nighttime came, Yagodzidzande slept on one side of the lodge, and her new husband slept on the other. They didn't really know each other well, and didn't think it was such a good idea to start having children right away. Even so, Yagodzidzande became pregnant. This disturbed the mind of Tarunhyawago, which caused him to have a dream. He then brought the people of his village together to try to guess the meaning of this dream, but no one could guess correctly what the dream of the Skyholder meant. Finally, the white dragon of the fire body stepped forward and said, "Tarunhyawago, surely your dream means that your new wife is pregnant, and you are upset. Therefore, you will take the tall tree of the standing light by the trunk. You will uproot this tree and place your wife by the abyss. Once done, you will push her through the hole and cause her to leave the upper world forever." When Gahasarine had finished speaking, the chief of the upper world said, "Yes, what you have said is true, and by correctly guessing the meaning of my dream, it is as though you have made it come true." Tarunhyawago then uprooted the tree of the standing light, placed his pregnant wife at the edge of the hole, and pushed her through into the space below. Yagodzidzande fell, and below her, all of the universe was made up of water. The animals of the water saw her falling, but because the sky and the water were both blue, they didn't know if she was falling from the sky or coming up from the bottom of the lake. The water animals argued about this. The otter said that she was coming up from the bottom of the lake. The beaver and the muskrat agreed. The geese and the ducks, however, said she was falling from the sky. They flew up, and breaking the fall of Yagodzidzande, let her rest upon their backs and brought her gently down to the surface of the water. Meanwhile, a great turtle came up from beneath the water and volunteered to be a resting place for Yagodzidzande. The beaver, the otter, and the muskrat each dove to the bottom of the lake and tried to bring up a mouthful of earth to place on the back of the turtle. The beaver failed and died, as did the otter. But the muskrat was successful. He placed the mud on the back of the turtle, and Yagodzidzande was laid down to rest. When she woke, there was a fire next to her and a pot of corn soup. The back of the turtle had grown in size, and it was visibly continuing to grow with every passing minute. Yagodzidzonte stood up on the earth and walked about it, helping in the process of its creation. Each day she returned to her resting place to find a fire and a supply of corn, beans, and squash for her to eat. Corn, beans, and squash have been known ever since as the three sister providers of the Mohawk people. Yagodzidzonte became pregnant and soon gave birth to a daughter named Dagawarakwa, or Gusts of Wind. As she grew to maturity, she became a beautiful young woman. One day when Dagawarakwa was sleeping in the forest, a man-being came up to her and passed two arrows over her stomach. One arrow was tipped with flint, the other was a maple shaft, and Dagawarakwa became pregnant with twins. In about 9 months' time, the twins inside of the womb of Dagawarakwa had an argument. One of the twins, named Sawiskara, or Flint, said that the best way to leave their mother was by way of the armpit. The other twin, named Ogwirdaze, or Young Tree, said that the best way to leave was between the legs. Before the argument was over, Sawiskara pierced through his mother's armpit and killed her. Ogwirdaze only followed, but was blamed for killing his mother by Sawiskara. Yagodzidzonte asked, "Which one of you killed my daughter?" Sawiskara replied, "It was Ogwirdaze, my brother." Ogwirdaze was then thrown into the forest and left to die by his grandmother. However, this was not to be his fate. Tarunyawagu came down from the upper world and taught his grandson how to live in the forest. He taught him how to hunt and to make foods from the things that grew upon the earth. He also taught him to make the lodges of the Uguasua and the method of preparing the bark. Finally, Tarunyawagu told Ogwirdaze to prepare the earth for the coming of man. He told him to make the earth beautiful and to provide growing space for the three sister providers, corn, beans, and squash. Ogwirdaze made the corn to grow tall and strong, but his brother, Sawiskara, took the corn and threw it into a fire, burning the ends and ruining that part of the ear. Ogwirdaze rushed to take the corn from the fire and save the rest of the ear, but you'll notice today how the end of the corn cob cannot be eaten. Ogwirdaze made all of the rivers run in two directions. This way, men would be able to travel in any direction without having to paddle against the current. Sawiskara changed the course of the rivers and made them all flow just one way. He then threw large boulders into the water to hinder river travel. Fortunately, Ogwirdaze caught Sawiskara in time and stopped him, but still many rivers were already made difficult to travel on. Ogwirdaze asked the various animals how they would avoid man in the hunt, and when the animals responded, Ogwirdaze changed that part of the animal that would have a special advantage over man. One day, as Ogwirdaze was going about the earth, he noticed that there were no animals to be seen. They had all been captured by Sawiskara and locked inside of a cave. The season began to grow cold, and there was no game to hunt. Ogwirdaze located the cave where the animals had been confined and moved the rock holding them in and freed them. After this last confrontation with his brother, Ogwirdaze decided to challenge his brother to one last contest of strength. He asked his brother to meet him on top of a mountain deep within the Adirondacks to play a game of dice. The winner was to rule the day, the loser the night. When Sawiskara showed up for this contest, he brought his own dice. Ogwirdaze agreed to use the bowl of Sawiskara, but not his dice. He called the sparrows and asked them to give their small heads for the dice. The sparrows agreed. Ogwirdaze then called out to all of creation and said, "To all things that are alive, send me your power now so that I may be victorious and that all of you may live." The animals and the plants, the very earth itself, sent power to Ogwirdaze, and he proved victorious over his brother. Sawiskara was banished from the world below the turtle and the earth, only to come out at night when it was dark and cold. Ogwirdaze assumed preeminence on the earth during the day and continued to carry out his grandfather's command to continue the work of making the earth a better place for the coming of man. One day while traveling about the earth reviewing all of his work, Ogwirdaze came across a man-being, Hadui, blocking the path through the forest. Hadui said, "What are you doing here, walking about my creation as if you made it?" Ogwirdaze responded that it was indeed he who had done all of this work of creation, and the two agreed to a contest of strength. Whoever could make the mountains move would be the agreed-upon maker of the earth, and the loser was to serve the winner for the rest of time. Hadouy went first, and he commanded the mountain to move, but of course it stayed in one place. Then Ogwirdaze said, "See, you are not the maker of the earth and all that it contains." Hadouy replied, "But you too must try to make the mountain to move." Ogwirdaze said, "Yes, but first you must turn around and close your eyes." Then Ogwirdaze ordered the mountain to move right up behind Hadouy. When Hadouy turned around, his face slammed into the side of the mountain. This twisted his face and bent his nose out of shape. Hadouy was so surprised that he asked Ogwirdaze not to hurt him and promised to help mankind for all time. Hadouy said that if men addressed him as grandfather, burned tobacco to him, and carved his image into the trunk of the living tree, he would cure men of their sicknesses. Ogwirdaze agreed to this, and a great curing ceremony of the false face was born, dedicated to Hadouy, the great twisted face. Now the earth was ready for the habitation of man. Ogwirdaze went to the shore of the great lake, and he scooped out a handful of deep red earth. He said, "Now I make what shall be called Ukwahunwe, or human beings. They will dwell here on this floating island." As soon as he had stopped talking, he began to make the body up of the human being. He took up the earth, and he said, "This earth that I take up is alive. So too the body of the human being that I make shall also be alive." And he made the flesh of the human being. When Ogwirdaze was completed, he thought for a while and said, "This will result in a good thing, and these human beings will continue to have life just as I myself am alive." He took up a portion of his own life and he gave it to the human being. He took a portion of his own mind and enclosed it into the head of the human being. He then took a portion of his own blood and enclosed it in its flesh. So also did he take a portion of his power to see and enclosed it in its eyes. Finally, he placed his breath into the body of the human being, and the man rose and stood on the earth. Then Ogwirdaze said, "I have made your body, and you may now walk on the earth and see what it contains." At this time, as if by magic, Ogwirdaze showed all of the earth to man. He showed him the valleys nestled in between tall, gracious mountains. He showed the man the clear waters of Iroquois and the waterways of all the various territories. Ogwirdaze showed man the beauty and wealth of all the forests and the numerous medicines and foods. Fields of the three sisters growing to maturity were pointed out to man. Large trees bearing nuts and fruits, bushes of berries, and the large bounty of game were shown to man. Likewise, the spots where flint could be found. Calamite for making pipes and bowls, deposits of clay and sand for pottery, and smooth pebbles for beadwork. All of these things were shown to the first man, and he was very glad. Ogwirdaze then said, "I have given you all that the earth contains. It will continue to comfort your mind. I have planted human beings on the earth for the purpose that they shall continue my work of creation by beautifying the earth, cultivating it, and making it more pleasing for the habitation of man." Following this, man saw his elder brother the sun come up and cause the daylight on the earth to be warm. And man saw that the earth was beautiful and that the sky was beautiful, and he was glad. Ogwirdaze said that all of this was for man, and that all man had to do was feel good and to be thankful for all the gifts of creation. Man must never take these good things of the earth for granted, or they would be taken away. Man must always be thankful. But men forgot these words of the Creator, and they lost respect for the earth and for each other. Because of this, the Creator returned to the earth and instituted the four ceremonies of thanksgiving. These four thanksgiving ceremonies would bring the people together at harvests, midwinter, when the maple runs from the trees, and at the time of green corn. Human beings were told that they had forgotten to be thankful, and so they were ruining the earth. These four ceremonies helped them to remember. Even with the four ceremonies, however, there was fighting amongst the people. And so the Creator returned to the earth once again, this time to inspire the formation of the Great Law of Peace and the founding of the Five Nations Confederacy. It is a hard thing to tell where the creation story of the Ganyatgahaga ends, because it doesn't really end in any one place, but continues on, even to this day.